Words on Water. This episode is brought to you by Adage Water Technologies. Adage specializes in the design, development, fabrication, and supply of water treatment solutions, specialty medias, legacy, and innovative technologies that remove a wide range of contaminants from water. They have extensive experience in the removal of arsenic, iron, manganese, hydrogen sulfide, fluoride, nitrate, and uranium from water, and have sold hundreds of water systems ranging from 5 gallons per minute to over 20 million gallons per day in North America and locations throughout the world. Visit them online at adagetech.com.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. I'm going to be talking about something today that I don't know a lot about, and I'm very excited to have some experts with me to explain dewatering. Hopefully this helps some listeners also. I'm sure there's a wide range of what people know and don't know about this topic, so I'm glad to be joined by two folks from Adage. I have Faria Hassan, a project manager, and Britt Marola, applications engineer. Britt, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today, Travis?
I'm good. Faria, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with kind of dewatering 101 here. What is dewatering?
Dewatering is a pretty common practice in construction, and it's a term used to generically to describe the process where groundwater is extracted to either temporarily or permanently lower the water table. And there's two reasons you might do that. One is for short-term construction, which would be temporary, or if you're building something that would be subsurface, like a garage or a basement, and in that case, you would have to permanently lower the groundwater table and would need a permanent dewatering equipment set up to continue doing that over the life of the building. And it's required so that you have a dry and stable environment in order to build your foundation upon. So at Adage, our specialty is treating the dewatering water that's produced as part of permanent dewatering structures. We have several different installations, and that Faria has been project manager in quite a few of them, and she can go into some more detail about some of the specifics and the details of each of those.
So Travis, we are currently working on a 260 GPM rated dewatering system, and this one is for iron and manganese removal, and this is for a project in Colorado. Now, in 2011, we started up another project in Colorado, but this had a much smaller flow rate of only 50 gallons per minute. However, this site had trickier water quality with very high levels of iron and manganese. Iron was around 4.6 to 7.4 milligrams per liter, and manganese was about 4.5 milligrams per liter. Hmm. Now, a couple years later, in 2015, we did a project where selenium was a contaminant of concern to be treated for. So as Britt mentioned, you can see the contaminants for treatment would really vary from site to site.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. It's a very case-by-case kind of process with dewatering. I want to learn a little bit more about this. How exactly is dewatering done? What's the process when you come into a brand new project?
Sure. So as Britt had mentioned, the dewatering process typically involves intercepting the shallow aquifer surrounding a structure, and then you would pump that water continuously from a series of groundwater extraction wells in order to lower the overall water table and therefore essentially allow construction areas to remain dry.
And then one of the really important things to consider is that as you extract all this water, what do you do with it? And there's a lot of regulations involved in and what gets done depending on where you want to dispose of it. But typically, if you have a permanent installation, you need to consider what's in that water and how you're going to treat it. And so it's a site-to-site consideration, but you might have to treat for suspended solids. You might have to treat for iron and manganese. You might have to treat for arsenic or radionuclide, and then you have to handle that waste. And so it's a two steps of extracting the water and then treating it so that you can dispose of it off-site.
So what are the, I have a couple questions that'll come off of that. So what are the usual water quality challenges? I know you said that it varies a lot site to site, and that makes sense because you're dealing with different soils and different, geography and all that kind of good thing. But what are like the usual water quality issues that you have to deal with?
Dewatering, we think of three typical challenges when you are looking at a dewatering site. You have high levels of sediment. I mean, you're on a construction site, you're moving earthworks around that would make sense to you kind of naturally. We also can see high pH, especially if you're near grouting or concrete work. And then naturally occurring contaminants that already existed in the water that you were extracting. So the sedimentation, high levels of sediment and the elevated pH, those are most problematic in temporary dewatering operations where you have water is being removed at an active construction site. You need to treat it, or sometimes you don't, depending on where you are, but then you discontinue dewatering and you don't have to consider it anymore. On permanent dewatering locations, that's when you really have to think about the naturally occurring contaminants. Because they're already in the water and they're going to remain in the water regardless of what else is happening. And so you need to consider what's there and what your treatment standards that you need to hit are.
You take this water out, you treat the water. What usually happens with it then? Where's the water going to go? Is this something that
sure.
can be discharged into a waterway, has to go to a treatment, a water treatment facility?
So Travis, there's a couple of options, and it's really dependent on a few different factors. For example, there's a lot of regulations that govern what happens to the water, including federal, state, and county regulations. And in addition to that, we have NPDES, which is National Pollutant Discharge Elimination, and construction permits that could apply. The water quality can also come into play depending on any discharge restrictions for where the water will actually be disposed to. Whether it's a lake or a river, different bodies of water may have their own restrictions. Now, typically, water is commonly discharged to a local sanitary sewer when this option is available. And while a sanitary sewer disposal does not typically require a permit, sometimes it can, and it really just depends on the local authority there. And permits overall are typically not required when water is reused on the construction site, discharged to adjacent land, used at an adjacent facility, or treated offsite.
You had mentioned, you touched on regulations a little bit and the idea that they're going to really vary from state to state or so forth. Could you talk a little bit more about the regulations around dewatering?
Yep, absolutely. So the regulations for dewatering stem from the 1987 amendment to the Clean Water Act. Which essentially controls the discharges of pollutants from municipal separate storm sewer systems, construction sites, and industrial activities. So the EPA regulations require construction and stormwater discharge to comply with the NPDES permit I described earlier, or other state and county permit requirements, which could also apply.
The thing that strikes me about dewatering is there's like so many different factors and variables involved. From site to site, from what's in the water to how the ground is set up to what the regulations are to where you have to take the water. How is it, working in this kind of field where there's so much variability and so much case by case?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the host of the different contaminants that you're evaluating and looking at is really, you're limited to anything that you could possibly find in shallow groundwater. So the opportunities for different treatment approaches are there. And you also have to get creative because you have to consider if these are going things like parking garages or basements, you might have physical footprint challenges to hit as well. So you have a low ceiling or a very limited space that your equipment needs to fit into. And so really, it's really important to have a very firm grasp of the water quality, to have a firm grasp of the site requirements and what you're building and what the spaces that you have to work with, and also where the water is going. One thing we haven't really talked about is what happens if you are generating sludge waste or if you don't have a sanitary sewer on site. And so in those situations, we might need to consider some sort of recycle system where we can recycle backwash water through to the front of the treatment plant and collect and concentrate sludge to be disposed of off-site as a solid going to like a landfill. And so those are all the different things that you have to consider in order to have a dewatering site that works and that's successful in the long term.
Freya, what about for you? What's it like working in this area with just so much variability from situation to situation?
You know, Travis, managing these projects, it's actually very exciting because you never know what you're going to get. And as Britt said, it can be sometimes challenging depending on the different water quality, but that's what makes the projects interesting is that each project is unique and the different types of treatment technologies used and whether you have a case scenario, as Britt described, where you have to deal with solids management and are able to recycle that water, that's what makes the project fun for us or fun for myself. So sometimes it can be a little bit trickier than others, depending on the type of contaminants in the water and the different type of technologies needed. If you can just work with one, if you're just treating for iron manganese, or if you have multiple contaminants that you have to deal with, whether it's suspended solids and arsenic and iron manganese, or whatever the case it is. So the good thing about it is that it's never the same. So you're always learning.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Speaking of never being the same, you know, there's a lot of change happening now in the water sector because of technology and innovation, you know, our digital era that we're in. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you could talk about maybe some of the emerging trends in dewatering or technology improvements that are changing things, kind of where it's all headed. Look into your crystal ball for a moment here.
Sure. So I'll start off here first. So as we know, the water industry is sometimes it can be slow to adjust to innovation. Now, as communities, residences, businesses, and et cetera, are adapting to new sustainability objectives and the technology is rapidly changing, we do expect significant improvements in the efficiency of dewatering technology in the future. Now, here at Adage, we're committed to being at the forefront of these changes. And we're always seeking ways to improve our methods to treat the water that's created as this byproduct of dewatering. Now, a great example of Adage's dedication is our 8026 media. Our 8026 media can treat iron and manganese at higher levels and with a smaller footprint in comparison to conventional Green Sand Plus media. So really, Travis, it's changes like these that help lower capital and OPEX cost and therefore allow for more strategic designs for our customers.
I think to build on what Faria said too, it's all about you know, smaller footprints, less water being wasted, being able to recycle water so that you're not losing water in the backwash process. It's all about sustainability and creating less waste in the overall process.
Sounds like that's, you know, consistent with a lot of the trends we see in water and in a lot of fields right now about reducing waste and reusing. So reduce, reuse, recycle, even in dewatering, huh? Good.
Well, exactly.
I feel so much better equipped to at least have entry-level conversations on dewatering now. So thank you both very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Travis.
Words on water.